Well, it is Mother's Day. Guys, if you came in this morning and that was a realization to you, good luck. It's going to be an interesting day for you. How many of you have a mom? Look at that. Nice, easy question. That's just the judge participation in this. All right, so we all have one point of commonality in the room this morning. How many of you have a good mom? All right, good, okay. Those were free brownie points for you today, okay? And I take payments in beef if you're thankful for that. I'm just letting you know. Mother's Day is a time where we take a day and we choose to celebrate our moms. It doesn't mean that we don't appreciate them the rest of the year. It means that we like to take this day to say thank you to our moms. And I know that some churches have even given up on celebrating Mother's Day, even though it always falls on a Sunday, and they've chosen not to highlight Mother's Day. And I understand to a degree that the reasoning for a lot of them is they don't want to make any women who can't have children or haven't been able to have children or just haven't had children to feel uncomfortable or to feel anxiety on that day. And I can't imagine the level of difficulty that must be for some women who are in that position. I see it a handful of times in Scripture, and it's never an easy thing. Some of those women suffer their entire lives without having that or being able to be blessed with that in their life. And I just don't think it's fair to all the moms out there to not celebrate them on this day because it might offend somebody else. And so if you're in that place this morning, this is not a decision to choose to offend you. It is a choice to celebrate those that are mothers this morning. And I don't think we need to rename it Special Person's Day, you know, just because of some woke desire to not offend anybody ever while offending everybody at the same time. So I think there is purpose and value in celebrating the moms this morning and thanking them for all they've done because as we pointed out right off the bat this morning, we all have a mom. We all have a mother. She may no longer be with us, mine's not, and yours might not either, but we get to celebrate the women in our lives who have been a tremendous blessing to us. And you may be in that place where you haven't had children or you can't have children. Not saying that it's the same thing, but God will give you an opportunity to play a motherly role in someone's life. I know I share this just about every Mother's Day, but that's something my grandmother did for me. She married my grandfather after he had all of his children. She never had any kids of her own. And she was a tremendous blessing to me. On Mother's Day, I would always reach out to her when she was still alive and thank her for being that safe haven. When things in my house got a little too crazy, I'd always escape to her house. And she taught me a lot of things in life. She got me interested in cooking. And so anybody that had some of the pulled pork last night, you can thank my grandmother for that one day because she got me into cooking. I love to cook, especially meat and those kind of things. So today, we're going to celebrate mothers by looking at three ways that God uses mothers to bless all of us, and we'll also talk about why and how Satan chooses to attack mothers and the motherly role. So we'll look at mothers' unfailing love, we'll look at their examples of faith in our lives, and their role as disciple makers this morning. I think one of the most amazing aspects of mothers is their unfailing love. A mother's love is so special and unique, guys, and nothing I say today is meant to degrade men in any way or dads or fathers in their role. It's meant to celebrate moms, not the opposite. But a mother's love is so special and so unique that God uses their love as an example of his own love. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13, he says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Why does God choose the love of a mother to demonstrate his own love? Why didn't God just say, embraces another, as one human comforts another? He specifically calls out mothers and how a mother comforts, and I would argue it's because a mother's love is the closest thing to God's love we'll see on this side of heaven. It demonstrates selflessness and dedication, two things that God's love very clearly portrays in our lives. Every mother in here has eaten countless cold meals because they're taking care of the kids, sometimes your husband as well, making sure their food is set, prepared, cut up, everything's ready, and by the time you finally get around to sitting down, every mom in here knows what it's like to eat cold meals. And you've actually grown to be very comfortable with it, or you're getting good with the microwave. And that's just one of the many, many ways that mothers show their selfless and unfailing love to us. I'm not going to, when I was preparing the sermon, I'm like, oh man, I can count out like 15 of these things that moms do, but I'm going to leave that up to you, okay? This is another easy brownie points today. I want you to thank the mothers in your lives for the ways that they have demonstrated their selfless love to you. That way you're not just repeating what Pastor Bruce said, okay? You can come up with your own material here, but there's a springboard for you on that. But it really is true. There are countless ways that our mothers have shown us how much they love. And as a mom knows, many times those things go unnoticed, unappreciated, and they're not specifically thanked for it. So today, I would encourage you, take a moment to think through, how has my wife or my mom, how has she shown love to the children in her care in ways that clearly demonstrate the love of God? There's a reason why God chooses to liken his love to a mother's love. And God likens his loving compassion to that of a mother as well. Isaiah 49:15 says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you." Here again, God is pairing his characteristics to that of a mother. Now, I don't think, you're not going to gain any brownie points by saying your mom was perfect, because she wasn't. But moms aren't perfect, but God, time and again in his word, chooses mothers and the way they love and the way they comfort and their compassion in order to demonstrate his own, because it's the closest comparison that he has this side of heaven. It's why kids run to mom when they're hurt, when they're looking for comfort. They want the comforting love of a mother. Because when they run to dad, they have to hear about how many times, well, I told you not to do that, and now you're hurt, and I have no compassion for you because I told you not to do that, and then you did it, and you got hurt, so it's your own fault, and I'll still hug you, but I'm going to tell you how you could have avoided getting hurt in the first place and how you shouldn't have done that. I don't know if any other dads are like me, but that's what I struggle with, okay? That's what kids are going to hear when they come running to me because they got hurt because I told them not to do that 100 times. We like to fix things. So we're trying to fix the problem. We're trying to solve it in our ways of trying to help instruct them and give them good guidance. And moms, and you're just so good at being in the moment and just loving and caring and comforting. And I think today, of all days, is a good day to pause and just think how that demonstrates the love of God, how we have seen God in our lives be unfailing, to be selfless, to show his dedication to us in so many ways. And I would encourage you to be reminded, as you think about how awesome maybe your wife is or your mom is, to be reminded, man, that is God displaying his characteristics through this amazing woman in my life. And maybe like me, you have to think back, you have to reflect, because your mother's no longer with us, and so you get to remember and reflect back on those moments and how you were blessed by that. But moms, this morning, I encourage you, imagine viewing yourself the way that you view your own kids. Remember the last time they really messed up? I mean, like, one of those you had to take a few breaths, you know, so you didn't go to jail kind of moments, one of those kind of things. How did that affect your love for your child? Did you stop loving them for a moment? Did what you thought about doing to them and chose not to do to them, did that change the love? Did you stop loving them for a moment? Did you stop caring for them for a moment? No, because you're a mother whose love is unfailing. And when we mess up, when we get it wrong, when we have those moments where we think, there's no way God could still love me. There's no way that my mistakes and the way that I've messed this situation up or the way that I've done this thing, there's no way that God can still love me. I want you to remember those moments where your love, man, you wanted to strangle that kid, but man, you still loved him with every fiber of your being. At no part of you wanted to punt, like to hurt them. You just, well, maybe a little part, but your love for them never changed, never failed. And if you can do that, if your mom can do that for you, imagine the love of God and how great and how vast and how amazing it is, because it is perfect love. It is complete selfless love. It is love that we cannot fully understand this side of heaven. Mothers aren't just great examples of God's love. They demonstrate a great example of faith in our lives. I hope your mother maybe gave you a demonstration of what it looks like to have faith in God, and certainly something, hint, hint, worth thanking your mother for on Mother's Day is to say, hey, thanks for your faith. Like, it has always encouraged me. It has always blessed me. It has always challenged me to love God and have faith in him more. But moms demonstrate and are a great example of faith to us. When Paul is writing to Timothy in his letter, and he's thanking God for Timothy, he's reminded of where his faith heritage came from. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Now this is important to note, because I want us to possibly rewind and remember, this is not a culture which highly valued women. And so for Paul to do this, to put this in this letter, to knowingly and intentionally choose not to thank his father or his grandfather, but instead he chose his grandmother and his mother as the ones who had the heritage of faith. I don't know how much of a risk that was for Paul, but man, their faith must have been extraordinary for him to point this out. And now, because God's word will never fail for all eternity, their faith is memorialized forever because of the way they taught, the way the grandmother and the mother had faith in God. What an amazing legacy of faith they left, these two women. We don't know what Lois's background is. We don't know her family history. There's no genealogy in the Bible that's going to break that down for you so you can see exactly what her lineage was. A lot of times in the Bible, we know Jesus' lineage. We know some of David's lineage. We know some of these guys' lineage, but we don't know Lois's. You might come from a godly family. You might have that heritage, or you might be the first God follower in your family. Lois might have been the first Jesus follower or the first one to have a heart for God in her family. We don't know if anything was handed down to her. Paul probably wouldn't have known Lois's mother, but we don't know what that was. But we do know of those two specific women and the way they had faith in God, passed that on. And then Timothy, a great man of God, is part of changing the world. Now, as far as we know, neither Lois or her daughter, Eunice, neither one of them had earth-shattering, life-changing ministries, but they did through Timothy because they loved God, followed him, raised up godly children. Their legacy is Timothy's legacy. And you might, moms, you might never get all of the acclaim. You might never be the one up here preaching a sermon or getting all of the accolades for something your children do, but you can look at your kids. And I know, moms, you love to brag. And just know that what you've imparted to your children, the faith you've shown in God, lives on through your kids. Now, we're all going to pass things on to our children, whether you like it or not. I know I didn't have the best relationship with either of my parents, and early on in my life, if you wanted to make me very angry, all you had to do was say, oh, you're just like your dad, or you're just like your mom. And I hated that because I wanted to be so different from my parents. And I can't deny how much of, whether it's their little quirks or just certain parts of their personality, they passed on to me. Wouldn't it be great, of all things, to pass on your faith to your children? And think about this for a moment. If your children had the same faith that you have in God, would you be proud? Would that be encouraging to know they have your faith in God? Just think about, for someone to look at your grandchildren and be reminded of you and think, man, they love Jesus just like their grandmother, just like their mother. Isn't that amazing how faithful they are, how passionate they are for Jesus, just like their mom, just like their grandmother? I think this morning, one of the things I want to convey, one of the things I feel like God has for you ladies this morning, is to recognize the impact you have on the faith of your children. Satan will, for your entire life, seek to diminish that, seek to minimize that impact you have so that he can lessen it even just a little bit. He wins. And so I encourage you this morning, be encouraged and challenged by acknowledging the impact you have on the faith of your kids, grandkids, and so on. There's one thing every parent of a 2-year-old or older knows, is that our kids are watching and listening to everything that is going on around them. And that stuff will be repeated. And sometimes that's really funny. Sometimes it's a little awkward for my wife when my kids repeat things and do things in public because their dad is a little weird. And I purposely do things to hope that they say them in public because I like awkward moments. But the reality is, much of what you do, things that you say, the way you act, things that you're not doing intentionally, they're just part of who you are. Your kids are watching, and that stuff will be repeated. Let what you say be something you want repeated. Let who you are be something you want passed on and repeated. Proverbs 31:26 says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." Let what your kids repeat be a passionate faith in God, which changes the world. Because I'm sure my mom didn't follow Jesus, but I know that she didn't ever look at me and think, oh, he's going to be a great man of God one day. He's going to be a pastor. He's going to, you know, be a leader of a church. He's going to lead people to Jesus. That wasn't on her hopes and dreams list, but you never know where God will take your children, or, and I want to point this out, just other people that you have influence over. Being a mom, every mom in here, whether you have biological children or not, you know you've been a mother. You've played that role in others' lives as well. And that is not diminished in any way, shape, or form. The way that you've shown love, the way that you've shown faith, there is somebody who looks at you and says, I want faith like that. I want to know Jesus like they do. What an awesome legacy to leave. Because one of the most important roles in your kids' lives, moms and dads, is as a disciple maker. You are making disciples through your children. So much of who they become and how they view God, it will come from you. They may never acknowledge that. They might not realize that. But so much of that comes from you. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." This is the hope and prayer of a godly woman, of a godly mom. Hopefully, it's the greatest hope for you. Now, moms, you know you probably struggle with a lot of hopes and dreams for your kids. You want everything for your kids. You want the best life. Some of you, most, if not every single mom in here, you know what it's like to sacrifice constantly so your kids have a better life, so they have it a little bit better. I know, I can't remember if it was a meme or something like that I was reading, and it talked about how, like, when I grew up, the only room in the house that had air conditioning was which room? The parents' room. Yeah. Nowadays, my kids have an air conditioner in their room. Theirs is the nicest, most conveniently. Why? Because we want the best for our kids. You know, we're willing to sacrifice, and we did end up getting an air conditioner in our room because our central air stinks. But theirs was first. Like, theirs was the priority. We wanted to make sure they were comfortable and they had everything because, you know, we always want better for our kids. And sometimes we fail them because we're trying to make things more comfortable and easier for our children, but it comes from a heart of wanting the absolute best for them. Is there anything greater than this? Is there a hope that is more important that should take priority over this hope? That we would raise them in the ways of God and they would follow him in that. It's even a commandment that we prioritize discipling and teaching our kids. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 7, it says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise," pretty much saying, this is what you should do all the time. This is part of your role. Is to teach your children about God. This means that don't think sending your kids to junior church on the Sundays that you're here is enough. That's not sufficient. What the scripture is saying here is our responsibility is to teach our kids day in and day out through our actions, through everything that we do as we're getting up, as we're going to bed, that everything should revolve around that. And man, it's so easy to allow our lives to revolve around their schedules, sports, activities, extracurriculars. That's what drives the schedule. That's what drives the busyness. That's what drives the craziness. Everything has to revolve around that. And this is the priority. Everything else should revolve around this. And if it doesn't fit this, then we don't do it. I'm sorry, we just don't have time in our schedule for that. It's so easy to allow God to be the one that gets pushed to the side, to allow our relationship with Jesus to be the one that gets pushed out because these other things seem more important. It seems more important that all of these other things would take priority. We've got to make sure these things get done. But this is saying this is a lifestyle lived out, showing that God is our priority and our kids are paying attention. When we prioritize their sports and make that the most important thing, they see that. When we prioritize their academics and make sure they understand the one thing that would make us the happiest person in the world, the happiest parent, is that their academics were good, they take that stuff in. Or when we prioritize their hobbies and say, this is the most important thing, as long as you're doing well here, as long as you're satisfied here, then I'm happy as your parent. That stuff is sinking in. One of the things I love about my awesome wife is when we're out, you know, we go to restaurants, not nearly as much anymore, but when we're out at a restaurant, I usually forget. But before we eat, she'll very often, because 99% of our servers are women, she'll ask them, hey, we're going to pray for our meal. Is there anything we can pray for you? And my kids hear this on a regular basis. They see this on a regular basis. And she's training them to love to pray for other people. And it's awesome. Some of the responses we get are, you know, flippant and like whatever, like, oh, world peace and those kind of things. But man, sometimes we get some awesome conversations with some ladies. And that's an amazing thing to pass on, to say this is the priority, not eating our food, not doing all these things. And there's so many other things that want that seat in our lives, that want that priority in our lives. many times throughout your life, as a mother. Things are going to fight to compete for that. And it's our job to make sure our kids know what is the one priority in our lives. And we can't just say it. We can't just come to church and say, hey, don't forget, God is a priority. Now let's forget about him until next Sunday. And if there's something going on next Sunday, though, we can't make it to church. We can't be around church people. We can't, you know, honor God with that. And you know, finances, we'll see if we have anything left for God. They see all of the stuff that we're doing. They see us prioritizing other things, their sports, their academics, their extracurriculars. And then we wonder why they don't follow Jesus once they leave the house. Well, we raised them up, right? We did all the right stuff, but we didn't make Jesus a priority. And I don't mean religion. I don't mean like church attendance is the priority. I mean Jesus is the priority. The best thing that you can model to your children is teaching them what to find fulfillment in. And it's easy to find fulfillment in hobbies. It's easy to find fulfillment in vacations to that's all we ever talk about is, oh, I can't wait till my next vacation. I can't wait till my next trip. I can't wait until this thing. And it becomes pretty clear what our fulfillment is in. But to teach our kids to learn what it means to be fully satisfied, fully fulfilled in Christ, and to pass that on to them, what an amazing thing to pass on to them. So what do we take away from today? What do we do with this? If you can, I encourage you, thank your mom for her unfailing love. And be specific. I know, guys, some of us aren't very good at that, about being very specific with what we're thanking them for. It's just like, hey, thanks for not letting us die. I would encourage you to be a little more specific than that, okay? Try to think of ways your mom or maybe your wife has demonstrated God's love to you, correlations that you can see, man, I see this in Scripture, the way that God loves us, and I see this in your life, and it's an amazing reminder of how much God loves me. Man, that's a good card right there. Thank your mom for being an example of God's love, for bringing, you know, the Lord's model of prayer that he gives us. He says, he encourages us to pray that heaven would come down to earth. And one of the ways that he does that is through moms and through their love. It's why he likens his love to that of a mother. Thank her for eating her meals cold many times and for the lost sleep to make sure that you were taken care of, to make sure that you were good, for always prioritizing her needs, her wants, her desires last. Encourage your mom like the children of Psalm 31. It says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And that shouldn't just take one day a year. I know, guys, we can get ourselves in trouble with Valentine's Day and Mother's Day. But I encourage you throughout the year, just take time. And just like it says in Psalm 31 here, make sure she knows, man, there's a lot of women in the world, but you surpass them all. There's a lot of great moms out there, but you surpass them all. You're amazing. Encourage them. And I also encourage you ladies. As we finish, we're going to be talking a little bit about how Satan attacks moms and their role. But ladies, you play a huge role in that. Some of you moms, you know what it's like to be in one of those seasons where you feel like a failure, you feel like everything's falling apart, you feel absolutely miserable, and then a mom, of all things, and guys, we're not very good at this anyhow, but it doesn't mean the same coming from a guy, but another mom just looks at you and says, hey, you're doing a good job. That can change your entire week. Just to be encouraged, to have another mom lock eyes with you while your toddler is screaming bloody murder on the grocery, you know, floor and acting like an animal, and just having another mom look at you, give you the thumbs up, or just say, it's okay, you're doing good. That can be a game changer. And so, ladies, I encourage you, look for ways to encourage the moms around you. Yeah, you're a great mom, but look for ways to encourage others around you as well. You can be such a huge support to the women around you. I encourage you to recognize your role in demonstrating faith to your children. Think about passing on your faith. Not like your theoretical faith, but your actual, the way you live out your faith. As we've gone through the series in James, it's been very practical. Think about the way that you've demonstrated that, that is clear to see. And if it's not what you would want to pass on, then change that. It's never too late to grow in that area and to pass that on to your children. Leave behind a legacy of faith that your kids and your grandkids and so on can refer back to and say, man, I remember that woman of God. Remember your role as a disciple maker. And that is one of the most crucial roles you'll play in your kids' life, is to disciple them, to make little aspects of yourself and to nurture those in your children. There's so many areas and ways to do that. But that's the role that God has called us to. But I also want you to remember, you are a disciple as well. All of these responsibilities, all of these things that are going to suck the energy and the life out of you, you are a disciple as well. And you will not be everything that God's called you to be if you're not being poured into. And you must prioritize that. Now, I know being a selfless mother, it can be hard to prioritize that. But what do you want for your children? Do you want them to operate on an empty battery? Do you want them to operate on a drained and burnt out faith and life in Jesus? No. You want them to operate from a full cup. And so I encourage you, model that in your own life. Don't just model all of that other stuff and fail to model for them being poured into by God. Show them the most important aspect of your life is being poured into by the God of the universe, by prioritizing your time with Him, by prioritizing your relationship with God and saying, this is the most important part of my day, is connecting with Jesus, because I can't do all of the rest of that stuff if I haven't connected with Him. If you're feeling distant from God, it's really hard to pour out for others. It's really hard to pour out love and patience and kindness out of an empty cup. And sometimes, well, not sometimes, all the time, you know what Satan's going to tell you when you try to prioritize your time with Jesus. Oh, you're being selfish. Oh, don't forget about the laundry. Oh, don't forget about this. Don't forget about that task. He'll remind you of every undone task in the world to try to get you to not connect with God and to fill your cup. But you want to fill that. Prioritize your relationship to Jesus and recognize that you are a disciple as well. And if all you model is pouring out to your kids, then they themselves will not learn the importance of being poured into as well, so they can pour out on others. Discipleship is on both ends, that we need to be poured into and pour out. And man, Satan, I have my wife as an example. We talk about this often, about how quickly Satan will try to convince her that for her to prioritize those things, and how she can feel guilty for taking that time, and how that's one of the big assaults that Satan pours out on her and tries to attack her with. If you learn to find your fulfillment, your joy, your satisfaction in God, like I said, the kids are watching. Those things will be repeated. Those things will be mirrored in their lives as well. And if you're a good mom, if you're a good mom, expect Satan to continue to try to convince you that you're not. He's not going after the bad moms. He's going after the good ones. So if you've ever heard Satan tell you, oh, you're a terrible mom, it's a good reason for that, because you're a good mom. And he wants to devalue you at any chance he can get, and he is going to continue. I mean, look around at our culture. Just the very aspect of being a woman is being assaulted in every way. And so Satan will try to continue to convince you that all of the things that should be a priority can't be, or how it's so radical in order to prioritize God. Like that's way out there. You don't have to do that. You don't have to know the voice of God. Know the difference between conviction from the Lord and a lie of Satan, because he will assault you at every chance. And like I said before, guys, we can encourage our wives, we can encourage our moms, and we can do our best, but ladies, you're probably the best line of defense against the lies of Satan. And he will try to make disunity amongst you, and he will try to point out all the flaws in the moms around you and keep you from having a tight-knit community where you can get together and encourage each other and celebrate each other and remind each other that Satan is a liar, and that so many of you moms, you're secretly dealing with things that you're ashamed of, that you don't want to bring out, that you think you're the only mom in here that's struggling with it or feels like a failure or is doing that badly at being a mom. And if you would just sit with some other ladies and say, hey, this is how I feel. I feel like a failure. I feel like I'm failing. My kids have done things that make me think I'm a bad mom, and I'm just not getting it. And you'll see a bunch of women stare you in the face and go, I feel the same exact way all the time. And so I encourage you, create deeper community with each other. Grow closer together, because arm in arm, that's the best defense you're going to have against Satan and his lies, is that constant encouragement. Today before you leave, encourage another mom. Now it won't mean as much today maybe as it will 6 months down the road when just out of the blue you pull a mom to the side and you just say, hey, I just want to say you're doing awesome. I see the way that you're doing this, or I see the way that's happening. I just want to say you're a really good mom and God is using you. There's power in that spoken encouragement. Or write a note, write a letter. I know some of you ladies are great at words of encouragement, those kind of things. But there will be nothing that will support or be a light in those dark places like having another lady come beside you and just encourage you and love on you. So when you hear the lie of Satan telling you how bad of a mom you are, rest in the assurance that it's only because Satan sees a really good mom as a tremendous threat to what he wants to do. Because God likens his love to your love, his comfort to your comfort. The power you have with your children to bring heaven to this earth is incredible, and that's why he attacks you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the mothers that you've sent to be a part of our lives. I thank you for the love we have experienced because of the women you have allowed to be part of our story. And Lord, forgive us when we fail to thank them, when we fail to acknowledge our gratitude for all they have done. But Lord, this day I pray the women here would feel blessed, would feel encouraged, and would feel challenged to more. Lord, I pray for deeper community and unity amongst us, amongst our moms and our women in this church, God, that they would have such a deep and authentic community that the lies of Satan fail because of the authentic way they love and encourage one another. Lord, I pray that you would continue to guide and direct us, that we would be reminded of your love, of your kindness, of your gentleness, and of your unfailing love in our lives, Lord, through the women in our lives. Thank you for who you are, God, that you are the ultimate example of faith and of love. And I pray, God, that you would continue to draw us closer to you each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day and happy Mother's Day.